Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Tom. Lovely to be here again.
Yes, always lovely to be here. It's not quite as sunny today as it has been. It's still quite warm outside, but I'm aware that it's rather more downcast than we've had over the last few weeks.
I'm not sure where I'm going to be northernified enough to wear t-shirt and shorts when it's 10 degrees, Tom, but well done to you.
Yeah, the t-shirt and shorts choice was because it was sunny when I left the house earlier today, but anyway.
But nice haircut anyway.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
very much. I had my haircut as well the other day.
Did you? I can't tell.
I'm really sorry that people can't see it at the moment.
No. We'll see it on Sunday though, won't we?
Well, it'll have grown a bit more by then.
Will it?
Only a little bit.
A millimetre at a time. That's wonderful. Have you, I'm just intrigued, have you seen any films or TV series recently that have caught your eye?
Well, yeah, we've been watching a little bit of TV, a bit of catch-up, but one programme that has intrigued us is Vandervolk.
Vandervolk.
So, Tom, you weren't even born when the original Vandervolk was on.
I've never heard of it.
1980s, maybe?
The 80s?
In fact...
I was expecting the 50s or 60s.
Ah, thank you. In fact, the theme tune to Vandervolk, right... went to number one in the top 10. It was by the Simon Park Orchestra. It went like this. And that became number one. That shows you how long ago it was.
We've got to be careful of the copywriting of music there, Tim, if you hummed it too well.
When you think of some of the songs that were issued in the 80s, that was probably one of the better ones, actually.
Really? Not a fan of 80s music, then.
But they've revamped it, obviously, okay. With a new cast. And, yeah, it's been interesting. Set in Amsterdam.
Okay.
And a police thing, you know.
Yeah.
Been fascinating.
Good. No, that sounds exciting.
Sorry.
No, it's
That's
okay.
About the limit of my TV watching.
It's quite all right.
No sport, Tom.
Well, you say that. You say no sport, but I can tell you now, on Saturday... or was it Friday? Friday, BBC One had Gyeongbuk versus Saigon Seibu or something in the K-League.
Really?
And oh my goodness, I forgot how much I love football. There was a drama, there was a straight red card, and a 41-year-old scored the winning goal in the 85th minute. So there is still hope for people who are younger
than you. Well. Perhaps you'll be watching that instead of Premier League football the rest of the season.
The Bundesliga's back this weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. I've chosen my team. Can my chosen team of choice, Werder Bremen, get out of the relegation zone? Well, I've got 8 or 9 games to see if they can do it.
Well, I hope that's a precursor to supporting those in the relegation zone in the Premier League.
Bournemouth.
When that comes back. So I hope we can count on your support, Tom, for the rest of the season.
Well, if Liverpool wrap the league up quickly, then I will become a... Bournemouth supporter.
Fantastic.
Alongside you. The reason I say that is me and Becca watched an amazing film on Monday night, Argo. You might have seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's the story of an escape from Iran.
Wow.
Ben Affleck stars in it, and it's some Americans who were stuck there during a period of war in the 80s, but somebody will correct me if I'm incorrect. It probably was. I'm probably getting it a bit wrong, but fantastic film. And we were absolutely hooked by it and on the edge of our seats. Were they or weren't they going to be able to get out of the country?
Don't tell us the end of the story, though, Tom.
Well, it is a true story. So if you know your history, you'll know what happened. And not many films like that have a sad ending, but it was incredibly tense. Another thing, though, and this is the thing that I'm wanting to highlight today to people, is that me and Becca have really enjoyed watching a new TV series that's been coming out of America called The Chosen. Now, The Chosen is a Bible-inspired production. I'll call it Bible-inspired, even though it does stick 100% to the text. They have added in little bits to create a narrative, and it is just stunning. The first episode shows us... a couple of different characters, Mary Magdalene, Nicodemus, and my brain's going because there's eight episodes. I think it's Matthew. I think we meet Matthew as a tax collector. So we meet these three characters and we begin to see their encounters with Jesus. This is, of course, before Jesus died and was resurrected. So they're not stealing your sermon series, Tim. But it's surprisingly funny. There's beautiful moments in it. It's incredibly relatable to each of us. And I feel almost compelled to watch it because it's so incredibly well done. So I can recommend it heartily to everyone.
That's good.
It's called The Chosen. You have to watch it on a phone or on a tablet. I think it might still be available on YouTube, but they were putting them up over Easter only. So see if you can find them on YouTube. But otherwise, The Chosen. It's a free app, and you can watch all of them on the app, and you can cast it to your telly and all sorts. But it is just a wonderful production. There's a beautiful episode in the middle of it where Jesus is calling the little children to him. And when I watched that, I just watched it, and I thought, this is exactly how I imagined Jesus would have related with each and every person who was there. This is how, in my head, I've pictured Jesus all my life. And the way that it tells the story is just beautiful.
That's brilliant, Tom, because you're never quite sure with the portrayals of Jesus, are you? There's been many, many TV series and films over the years, and you're never quite sure how it fits with the biblical narrative. So it's really good to know that that series is sticking.
And it's not cringeworthy either. Good. I must admit, I've seen plenty of Christian media over the years that has just made me think this is such a poor representation of what Christian media can be. So it's always exciting to see something that I watch and I think, actually, I want to go and share this with other people now. I want other people to see this. This is absolutely stunning television.
It's good, isn't it? But and actually, just encountering the story of Jesus, whether people believe it or not, it's an amazing story, isn't it? And it, at least if you share that with other people, then it gives them an opportunity maybe to dig a bit deeper, or maybe just to see, you know, could this possibly be true? And maybe begins a bit of a journey for them in discovering who Jesus is as well. And clearly fits in really well with our 40-day series.
Oh, totally.
Of this encounters with Jesus. And of course, the resurrected Jesus, the encounters is what we've been concentrating on, but throughout the gospel story and throughout his mission life, it was those one-to-one often moments and those conversations that transformed futures, wasn't it?
Well, the series, unlike most, doesn't follow Jesus. It follows the people who encountered Jesus, who met them. And so I suppose, I think their plan is to do multiple series. Maybe eventually they'll get onto what we've been looking at for these 40 days.
But it's coming to an end, Tom.
It is coming to an end.
Series.
We're on day
32 today.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Wonderful.
In 40 days. Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 17th, is our final Sunday of the 40-day series. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1, the first few verses of that final encounter that Jesus had with his followers before he ascended to heaven. And it's been a great series, I think. It's been really interesting to hear. It's been great to hear you, Tom, and Pauline and James bring the word afresh to us on the other Sundays as well, and just really helpful. I found it really interesting digging into some of these encounters in more detail. You know, I know the stories, read them many times, but to actually concentrate on them has really opened up some new understanding of the resurrected Jesus and all that his resurrection means for me as well.
And it was so wonderful to hear James and Judith unpack this passage for us at the weekend from their farm.
Yes.
And, you know, it was beautiful to see the various different locations James took us to. And it was great to see Judith read the passage from the side of the lake. And it's
lake.
Just all absolutely wonderful. I can remember when I've been down to the farm with him, many of you will have been there for the bonfire and fireworks we had there a couple of years ago, and it was just it's a stunning environment. And I totally understand where James is coming from about the refreshing that you can receive when you're in places like that.
And for people missing the Arches, because they're not on at the moment,
aren't they,
that would have been lovely for them to have had the site of a farm, even though
and the
no
bird
smells.
Song and all sorts. I'm not going to hum the theme tune because, again, although now it's out of copyright, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes.
It's been around for a long,
yes.
long time. So we're coming to the end of 40 days with Jesus, and thank you, everybody, for your feedback from it. It's been lovely just to engage a little bit in that. And so as part of that ending, next Wednesday, the 20th, we'll do our final podcast, of course. But in the evening, we're going to have a Zoom celebration. So we'll be sending out details of how you can join the Zoom conversation in a celebration of the 40 days. And what I'd love is for people to share perhaps what they've learned through those 40 days. Maybe there's been one particular session. Maybe you've had a new insight of Jesus. Maybe you've been able to share something with somebody else about what you've learned about Jesus. So I'd really love us to have that sort of conversation during that Zoom celebration. So that's next Wednesday, the 20th, and we're going to start at 7:30 for about an hour. So do make a note of that, and we'll send out details of how you can join in. But please don't be afraid of Zoom. We've had some great Zoom meetings. We had a great Zoom prayer meeting last night, which was a little bit, oh, how's this going to work? But actually, it was brilliant to pray with people. 21 people are hooked into that. And it was really, I think you used the word invigorating, Tom.
Life-filling. It filled me full of life by the end of it. And I ran through to Becca and I was like, I feel so pumped up right now, because I don't know about you, I sometimes end up feeling a bit drained after Zoom meetings. Yeah. They put a mental taxing on your brain that you don't get from meeting in person with people. And I'm sure we're all looking at screens far more than we have in the past. But I came away from that just feeling so full of energy, full of life, full of love for others. And it was great to be able to pray as a church family. And we prayed with lots of different people. We weren't praying as a whole group at any point during the whole evening either. We prayed in very small groups for a few minutes at a time. And I just came away from it. And I suppose my prayer for everybody else in our church family is that people would feel able to join us in future. Yeah. Don't let the technology get in the way. We had three people who phoned in from their landlines to join us rather than them having to use a computer and see their face. If you're scared about seeing a face, you can turn off your camera. You can just have audio. We just want to be able to connect with you. That's what we're doing through the podcast, through the weekend ministry that we have. And these extra opportunities to join together as a family are all just attempts at us being able to connect with one another through this difficult time. Before we began recording the podcast, me and Tim were just saying about what church might look like in the future. You know, is there any possibility of us having a church when we're kept 2 meters apart from each other? And actually, we said that one of the most important things of church is actually that thing of being able to connect with one another. And so we were saying we just don't know how it's possible. And if it is possible, we'll make it happen. But I'm sure for each and every one of you, you will all understand and know the importance of seeing people, being able to talk with people, connecting with people, because it's each other that builds up everybody in Christ. It's the conversations you had. I had an amazing chat with one of our students, well, young adults last week, which lasted for multiple hours in the end. And I'm sorry that I kept you on the phone for so long. Again, came away from it so full of life because of these conversations that you're able to have with people, where you come away from it and you just feel so invigorated. And, you know, it comes on beautifully to this passage, because I almost felt like I just wanted to share with someone else that I had this amazing chat, and these are the things that came out of it. And I think we should dive into the passage.
Yep, I think it's time, Tom.
We've kind of spent 12 minutes or so outside of it. We always manage this, but we want to dive into Matthew chapter 28 today, this wonderful passage of the Great Commission. And we're going to focus on one verse in particular, but I'm going to read all of it to you now, and I'm going to show you which verse we're going to be connecting in with today. But it's all part of a narrative. It's all part of this wonderful message that Jesus gives to each and every one of us. He gave it to the disciples, but it is meant for all of us in the church. So this is Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And this is the verse we're going to be focusing on today. Verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And verse 20, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now this verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations," it's been something that has kind of filled me with a bit of sadness this week. My wife Becca has started 2 weeks of annual leave on Monday, and you know, in a way, what does annual leave look like at the moment for someone who's in a hospital? It just feels like wasted time, and Becca's offered herself to go in voluntarily to fill in gaps. But the reason that she's got 2 weeks of annual leave is that right now, I, along with Becca, we were supposed to be away on mission. We were supposed to have gone into all the parts of the world. When I say all the parts of the world, we were specifically going to be going to South Africa. I was going to be spending 10 days in Cape Town with a few friends working with pastors from South Africa and kind of training them up to be able to use football as part of their ministry and as a way of them reaching out to people, especially those who are on the fringes of church life. So I was supposed to be going with a small team of people to Cape Town for 10 days, and then I'd have flown over to Durban, where I'd have met Becca, and we'd have spent 2 weeks with my sister on Liv Village in Durban. We'd have spent a week working on the village, doing projects and all sorts of things with them. And then we would have had a week of holiday over there as well, because we're able to. And that's one of the joys of mission, isn't it? The opportunity to go and be a part of what's going on there as well, to be able to spend a bit of time in relaxation, because it's important. It is important to be able to step away from things and take stock and recharge yourself. But yeah, this passage, it does strike a real chord with me at the moment, because it's so real. You know, I shouldn't have been recording this podcast with you right now. Maybe I could have done it remotely in South Africa, but you know, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be on mission, but because of what's gone on, I've been unable to travel. And so when I read this, I really take heart, and I know that I will continue to go on missions in the future. But I guess I'm sad that I currently am not able to. But I mean, I don't know if you want to share a bit of your missions in the past, because they're amazing. It's an amazing opportunity to be able to go and serve people in another country.
I love the fact that this call comes out of the authority that Jesus has, you know. And I was thinking, you know, Jesus sent these guys out on mission before, hadn't he? He had sent them out in twos to go and do some good works, and he just stayed at home really and sent them out. So they were afraid of going, but they came back rejoicing, didn't they? And Jesus said, you know, don't rejoice that the demons submitted to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven, you know. So he wanted them to keep it in perspective. You know, this isn't about them, this was about, you know, what God wanted to do through it. And now this time he's going to send them out again with this broad mission, just to go to the nations, to go and preach the good news to everyone that they get to see. Now, whether that's overseas or whether that, as he said, in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, those people closest to us, those within our region, but also to overseas as well. And he tells them just to go and do these things. And yeah, I've had the privilege of going on mission. And the first mission I went to was actually to South Africa. The first time I ever went away, that was in 2006. So I was quite a mature Christian by then, really, but hadn't had the opportunity to go on mission, but did at this point. And yeah, it's transformational when you do go on mission, when you go to see people who are clearly in some very difficult situations, and you get the opportunity to go and share the good news of Jesus with them. What I hadn't really reckoned with was how much that would affect me, really, and how it would change me. And it certainly broke my heart in the situations that I found myself in. But what was intriguing was that I expected to be able to go and tell people the good news about Jesus. But the first task I had was to go and dig the garden in this village that I went to stay in. And I had to work alongside this gardener who was clearly very old and had been doing it for years and years and years, and I had to go and dig and just spend time in the allotment, really, which was weird.
Well, I can remember the first time my mum and dad went over to South Africa to see my sister. They went there purely as a holiday, and yet a couple of days into it, I received a photo from my mum showing my dad creating a staircase in the side of a mound. And it was kind of a case of, yeah, I think dad had gone there expecting a holiday, and yet when he'd gone there and when he'd seen what was going on and that he could make a real difference, even to just one person's life, you find yourselves compelled to help. And there's so many opportunities that we have, and we're seeing it right now with all that's going on, where there are individual cases, and maybe we might be feeling, oh, I don't want to do that right now, or it's just not my thing. But actually, we're hearing of stories of people who are having a very, what might be seen as a small impact, but to the individual that they're helping, it's making a world of difference to them. From, you know, maybe collecting garbage bags from someone's house, something as simple as that. There's real things happening in our area.
And I think this is what I learned, Tom, that I had a preconceived idea about what mission looked like. And especially from a Western perspective, I was going to go and fix all the problems, you know. I was going to show them how to do things. Whereas what happened was, of course, they showed me what really life is all about, to be honest. And you find what life's all about in the poverty, in the challenges, in the lack, and when everything's stripped bare, you know, and you begin to see people who value the smallest of things, in my perspective, the smallest of things. This gardener guy, you know, he was just slowly turning the soil over, but, you know, that was his life, and that was what he offered to the village at that time, to offer this fresh product. I went out with some health workers to go and visit AIDS patients, and they didn't have the vaccine or the medication for AIDS. The only thing they carried with them was paracetamol. And I sat in this guy's shack, literally a shack in South Africa, and the health workers gave him some paracetamol, and his face lit up as if he'd been given a bar of gold, to be honest, because that was something. And those things, they crushed me, but they also actually taught me so much as well, and understood that my role in mission isn't to go and fix. My role in mission is to go and stand alongside people and to say you're not forgotten, that we remember you.
And sometimes mission, people who are called as missionaries are called to actually go to those situations and to be light in a place where there is pure darkness. You know, you only have to go back through the ages to see stories of people like Jim Elliot, or even close at home, missionaries that we have had contact with as a church, who've gone to remote parts of the world where maybe the gospel has never been heard or seen or experienced.
There, you know, Hudson Taylor.
Oh, totally.
The guy from Chariots of Fire, who I've forgotten his name.
That's
the quiz for this week. You know, that he gave up that Olympic career, you know, and he went out. He was convinced that this was what God wanted him to do, you know.
Eric Liddell.
You win the prize, Tom.
Woo! Yeah. It was in a quiz at the weekend that I should have remembered.
And
I love the story.
And I think, you know, the challenges that those stories set the bar too high for me, because I'm thinking I could never do that. But this is the great news about mission, whether it is on our doorstep or whether it is in another country, that mission isn't just two-dimensional. You know, there's many different ways to do mission.
And I suppose a bit of an analogy is that two lights do shine brighter than one. So often you're going to somewhere where there's already a strong light in place. Yes. But what you're able to do for a short period of time is make that throw go a little bit wider to increase the light just a small amount, and that sometimes what you're able to achieve in that small period of time has a catalyst effect for other things that go on. I can remember when I was in Romania a couple of years ago, we were often given just a simple task of letting people know what was going on, in a way flyering to them, go and give out these flyers. Maybe it's a case of making sandwiches for people. It's all these little things that you're just, sometimes you just feel like an extra body. You feel like an extra person who's just there, and it could be anyone. You know, they could have just got one more person from that area to come and join them. But you don't always know about what you do, about the impact that it has, because it might have been that because we were doing that job, we were making the sandwiches, that freed up somebody who was able to natively speak Romanian to connect with somebody else. You know, we couldn't have those discussions in Romanian with people. We were not able to share the gospel with them. But what we were able to do was make that first contact and signpost people of where they can find these things, who they can go and speak to, how they can unpack this. And, you know, we heard wonderful stories that came out of it, of the number of people that were doing things like Alpha courses, and they were running their own apologetics course after it as well. And there are all these stories of groups that were going on after the mission. When we were there, we didn't necessarily see a mass conversion. We didn't go and experience, you know, the Holy Spirit knocking everyone in the room down. What we just saw was a small group of people who loved Jesus and who loved the people that were around them, and they wanted to spread the word. And how can they do that? Well, they need people. They need people to help them on their way. So we went over and we helped with a missions week of a university. And it was just a wonderful experience. And like you said, missions are so life-giving. Yeah. And they teach you a perspective of things. They show you actually that sometimes the simple things that you do are able to have the effects on people that we just can't see. And we may never see it. I've had to train myself to see this. Yes. With a lot of kind of church work, because sometimes you connect with people for 5 years or longer, and then for whatever reason they drop off from things, and sometimes sadly you're not able to have any conversation with them ever again. And yet, I think we read an email that we had in a couple of months ago, where people, for whatever reason, they come back to stuff and they remember the time that they had. So it might be that someone says, oh, I can remember that time I had at Newcastle Baptist Church in 2015. And, you know, maybe we don't see the exact fruit of it right now, but we're continuing on with this mission that we're called to.
And Jesus said, you know, the kingdom grows in secret, doesn't it? You know, and the kingdom grows in environments that are not great, but it is growing. And I think it's that sense of moving forward, isn't it? That mission is often, we often talk about doing good works, which is good, doing speaking it with words, but also seeing wonders as well. And I've had the privilege of going on mission in the UK as well, and seeing lives changed as a result of those two things, of works, of getting alongside people, but then also having the opportunity to share the gospel in words, in with the good news. And sometimes it's a surprise to see what God does, because you don't see it all happening at once, because it is done in secret. But actually, as a result of what you're able to do and your own obedience, then things happen. And that's what Jesus was looking for from these disciples. He was saying, go and make disciples. Now, what he wants to see out of that is obedience then. He wants to see them do it. Here's the call. I'm going with you. Now let's go. Let's go and do this together. And the joy of doing that and being certain of his presence is the thing that spurs us on to do what he's called us to do. So this is great opportunities.
And this is a commandment. This is something that Jesus is telling us that as Christians we really should be doing. You know, at Christmas time, when we were standing round the market cross in town, it was bitterly cold. I can remember a conversation I had with somebody that, you know, it was very clear that they didn't believe in any of this, but they were intrigued by the singing, and it opened up the opportunity to have a conversation. And there's moments like that that if you don't seize, and yes, it can be scary, and I'm not wanting for 1 minute to suggest that it's an easy thing to do, because it takes years of preparation, it takes years of understanding and confidence to do it. But actually, when you're able to have conversations with people who are totally rejectful of everything, you don't know the impact that you're always going to have. But I know when I spoke with this person who said to me, the first thing they said was, I need you to know I'm an atheist, but I love the singing. It opened up the opportunity for me to just share a bit of my story, because we all have a story, and often that is something that is the easiest thing to share, because we ourselves, we've seen the impact of this. We've seen mission take place around us, not necessarily that we've done, but we have seen mission go on. I'm sure a lot of people who will be listening today, their lives will have been touched and affected by a mission. Whether we're going back to the 70s to Billy Graham concerts, I can remember my parents saying that for them, the Billy Graham events were hugely important for them in their faith, to, you know, all these other things that have gone on in people's lives. We've all probably been touched by mission at some point. And then it's that flip around to actually, for us to realise and recognise that we're all able to do this. And it's not always these big, massive events that are in this mission category. Sometimes it is that single conversation with your neighbour. It's passing on a DVD to someone who comes to your door. It's these interactions. It's sharing a video with a colleague, with your boss, with whoever it is. It's all these different things that add up to making this verse here, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And then the next part, the baptizing, well, we can sort that out if people come to it.
But the other good thing, Tom, is we do it in partnership, don't we?
Yeah,
I've always gone on mission with other people. Yeah. You know, to whatever it is I've done, and I've not had to be there on my own. And somehow in the team, then you have a real great combination of people who are able to fulfill all of the mandate, and you work together to do that. And I think that's something we need to understand, is that for many people, they think, oh, I can't go and tell the good news to everybody. And the great news is you don't have to go and tell the good news to everybody, because actually there's other people who you could help you to tell the good news for you. And one of the great things is something like Alpha, of course, which you know, we've been involved in for a long time. And actually people come to know Jesus as a result of an invitation. And Alpha is just the means by which they come to faith. But the invitation is so important, that you've invited somebody, that you've taken up that call to mission to invite somebody to say, why don't you come on Alpha? And we can talk about Jesus, And there are people there who can help you find out who Jesus is as well. Which, we're going to run an Alpha course soon, Tom.
We are, aren't we? We are going to be starting it in a couple of weeks' time.
28th of May.
28th of May, Thursday.
Online.
Yes, via Zoom.
Via Zoom.
Zoom's the easiest option because it allows people to join by phone if they aren't able to use video. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fantastic opportunity for us to meet together. We've been doing it with our young people. We've been kind of trialing it to make sure it works okay online.
So we're going to send an invitation to everybody in the church. If you want to come and join Alpha, that'd be fantastic. But why not go on mission and send the invitation to someone you know, not randomly, but to someone you know, and say, why don't you join me? We're going to do Alpha together online.
Why don't you join us for week one?
Just for week one.
The first week is not, I wouldn't say it's particularly churchy. Is there more to life? It's just asking a question.
And there's no singing.
No singing at all.
And there's no praying.
Not yet.
So it's going to be a very comfortable environment.
And there is no cost whatsoever.
Nothing weird.
There's no cost. You don't have to pay us to do it. Yeah. Mike Pilavachi would joke that comes later, but we'll...
So we play the video.
Yes.
Everybody watches a 25-minute video, and then we come together to have a discussion. And that's it. Any questions? Nothing's too simple. Nothing's too direct. Nothing's too difficult. If we don't know the answer, we have a stock answer to it. I don't know, but we can talk about it and we'll work it out together. So can I encourage you to go on mission and share this invitation with Alpha? The great thing is people don't have to live in Newcastle-under-Lyme to come to Alpha.
No,
they can be
incredible.
Anywhere in the world.
Absolutely anywhere.
Join us.
Far reaches the four corners of the world.
Yeah.
Can be
the ends of the earth, in fact, Tom.
Absolutely. All nations. All nations. That's fantastic.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
As we come into land today, I just wanted to share one last little story from when I was actually last abroad on mission. I'm sure some of you know I spoke about it in church about a year ago now, but we went out there on the Wednesday. We had kind of a day and a half of kind of getting to know the area that we were going to be working in for the next 7 days. And on the Friday evening, I had a phone call from my parents to say that both of my grandparents had been killed in a car crash. And, you know, I was absolutely devastated by it. When I was talking about the tears last Sunday morning, those were the tears that I was on about, the ones that you just can't stop and you just break down. And for me, I could not envisage any possibility that made me want to stay in Romania at that point, because in a way it didn't matter. There was no chance that I was going to be able to continue on with this mission. And I won't ever forget the words my dad said. And Dad, if you're listening, I hope you're not embarrassed by this, because it's actually one of the most beautiful things anyone's ever said to me. But he said, you know, my grandparents had been followers of Jesus all their life. They brought, I would want to say, hundreds, if not thousands of people to faith and to know him. And my dad just simply said to me, Tom, where would your grandparents want you to be right now? You know, there's no point dwelling in that current situation where you're currently stuck. You are in this privileged position to be able to go and disciple people, to go to nations, very privileged to be able to go there, and you can serve people who don't yet know Jesus for a week. Like, what an amazing way to sort of send off that is. And
it was a hard thing to say, I'm sure.
I think it will have killed him.
Very powerful and life-transforming thing.
Because so much, and we're seeing this recently, that there's so many times when, you know, it would just be easier to come together.
Yeah.
It'd be easier to, in our grief, and that's what it was. It was absolute grief.
Yeah.
In grief, you're able to just come together as family and grieve together. But I'm so pleased that my dad made sure I didn't get on flight home the next day, because the experience I had for that week was amazing. And I imagine it helped me. It helped it. Mm. Whilst it was very sad, don't get me wrong, it actually helped me to put some perspective on it all and to be able to say that the mission doesn't change as a result of what goes on around us. Through this COVID crisis, the mission that we have hasn't changed. The way that we do it might have done so. And yes, that can be a real stumbling block for some people. But our mission as the church, not just for me and you, Tim, but for everybody who's a part of it, our mission remains the same: to spread Jesus's love, to spread his peace, to spread his hope. And how do we do that? It's through sharing the gospel of Jesus.
I mean, nobody would want to go through what you went through, Tom, at all. But there is a the sense is, of course, that this mission is moving forward, isn't it? You know, it doesn't ever stop. And this mission during COVID-19 crisis continues. In fact, you know, we've increased our mission as a church during this time.
We're reaching more people. We're reaching more people than we've ever reached before.
The online presence, it's pushed us too. You know, and many churches are reporting the same. And as individuals, and there will be many of you who've been able to be on mission during this time to serve people, whether in the work that you do or just with your neighbours or with your family. We've been on mission perhaps like never before in our locality. And God, you know, will use this time and use us, continuing to use us. I think BC is going to take on a new phrase now, Tom. BC is going to be before coronavirus.
I think it potentially might. I mean, I'm jumping on to a verse you're going to look at in a couple of days, Tim, but verse 20, Jesus has promised to us, as a result of this, what he said, he said, you know, I'm telling you, you need to go and make disciples and you need to tell people to obey things. Jesus says to them, and as a result of these things, I've told you this, but here's my promise to you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, I was able to say last night, on Monday night even, with the prayer meeting, that, you know, Jesus isn't surprised by what's going on right now. Jesus, for whatever reason, Jesus knows what is going on, and he is with each and every one of us. He's there when we're doing mission. He's there when we're in the shops, in the chance encounters we have. I've loved having chance encounters with people from our congregation. I've loved bumping into 2 meters apart, into people from the church, and just being able to chat with them and encourage them. I saw Bob Burt from the end of his driveway the other night. That was just amazing, because these moments are so precious to us.
And he was playing his accordion, was he, Tom?
He was, and we're going to see it on Wednesday, next Wednesday evening. Bob plays a beautiful verse of Amazing Grace. I don't think we're going to sing along to it, because Zoom's not very easy to sing to, but it's these beautiful moments. And for Bob is playing Christian hymns to the people in his streets, and the people in the streets are applauding and singing along. Just amazing opportunities.
And I'm guessing he's never done that before.
Well, I think he'll have played his accordion for people many times, but we'll have to ask him.
A lot has changed, Tom.
So much has changed.
I'm very grateful, because this morning I paid less than £1 a litre for fuel.
Woo!
A lot has changed. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And anyway,
a great way of us praising the Lord is actually through
this has
prayer.
Been a long podcast, Tom.
I'm sorry. Thank you so much for sticking with us.
At the moment.
Thank you so much for sticking with us. We sort of ramble and chat, but I'm sure people will have been moved by this morning, by what we've shared. And I've had great fun. And on Monday night, we had an amazing prayer meeting, and it's such a privilege and joy to be able to pray with one another. And we're going to pray together now as we come into land today. There's just going to be four simple prayers, and me and Tim are going to share them with you now. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, you taught us to love our neighbour and to care for those in need as if we were caring for you. In this time of anxiety, give us strength to comfort the fearful, to tend the sick, and to assure the isolated of our love and your love. For your name's sake. Amen.
Amen. God of compassion, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light. Through him who suffered alone on the cross, but reigns with you in glory, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Gracious God, give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for the sick, and your wisdom to those searching for a cure. Strengthen them with your spirit, that through their work many will be restored to health. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We are not a people of fear. We are a people of courage. We're not people who protect our own safety. We are people who protect our neighbour's safety. We are not people of greed. We are people of generosity. We are your people, God. giving and loving wherever we are, whatever it costs, for as long as it takes, wherever you call us to go. We go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. I heard a wonderful story of someone who loves listening to us on their 5K run. So maybe today will have been an 8 or 9K
I
run.
Think definitely looks like it, Tom. Keep going, whoever you are.
Keep running, going. Keep jogging.
God bless you all. And we'll look forward to connecting again very, very soon.
Stay safe and
Amen. Keep washing your hands.
To all of it. Keep washing your hands. Yes. I think we better end this, Tim, before we say too many things. Bye.